When we think about the five senses, sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell, all of us experience each of these differently. This is Lisa Berry, and joining us now to talk about one of those senses, smell, is Michelle Krell Kidd, a trained nose in fragrance and flavors and editor of the blog Glass, Petal, Smoke. Welcome to 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you.
Among the many things Michelle does is host Smell and Tell. She has one this week about the aromatic allure of patchouli. From what I've heard, either people like or don't like it. So begin by telling us exactly what is patchouli.
It's a green leaf, and it was originally used to keep insects out of silk scarves in the 18th and 19th century.
Wow.
that were shipped. So they would layer silk scarves with layers of dried patchouli leaves. And by the time these scarves made it overseas to their destination in Europe, because they came from the East, they would be infused with the beautiful smell of patchouli. So in that time period, those scarves were worn by the rich. So the smell of patchouli was related with opulence and the Orient and all kinds of exotic things. Things do fall out of fashion. So when the scarves fell out of fashion, the prostitutes took up the scarves. Now, when that happened, patchouli became very taboo.
But then it became big in the 1960s.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
And it's really interesting. It defined counterculture and people who had politics, feelings, and emotions associated with, you know, the anti-war sentiment, women's rights, gay rights, etc., you know, rights for African Americans were wearing patchouli. So they could recognize each other by smell. And what's interesting about that is animals that walk on all fours, and we are animals, we just walk on two feet, recognize each other by smell. There is a sense of communication in the air through chemicals, right? That kind of tribal recognition is very unique. After the war was over, but the anti-Vietnam, anti-war sentiment continued, Estee Lauder decided to make a fragrance called Aromatics Elixir. And what they did is they took the counterculture sort of sense of patchouli and turned it into something liberating for the woman, but on a more, sophisticated, upscale
side. Can you still get that?
I have it. Do you want to smell
it? I do want to smell it. Michelle has brought all sorts of, are those oils or what have you brought with you?
So what I've brought with me are some raw materials. Everything's diluted in alcohol because if you smelled something at full strength, it's very powerful. I brought some fragrances that actually have patchouli and some other interesting things.
And while you get to that, I actually like patchouli, but I know some people who do not like. Why is there such a difference?
Well, patchouli is probably one of the most polarizing ingredients in a perfumer's palette. And the reason is, if I want to sort of keep it really basic, there's a lot of bad patchouli out there. And the way you'll know it is if you put a few drops of patchouli on, let's say, an index card, and you sort of leave it around. It's, very beautiful and scenty. If you start to see coloration other than something green, which is the color of the plant, you'll start to know that there's something there. There's going to be some kind of...
Where does it come from?
Indonesia, Java, sometimes Haiti, sometimes China.
I hear what you're saying. I would smell some patchouli, and I'm thinking it smells good to me. Other people don't. It's not that the patchouli's bad.
Right.
Is it our own unique?
Well, that's another part of it. So I guess in addressing that question, it's sort of twofold. One is, why is there this polarity? Part of it is quality. The other is, you either like something or you don't like something.
That's true.
And part of what I teach in Smell and Tell is what I learned in my perfumery training, which is how to evaluate a material objectively. So that means that you observe your likes and dislikes, you step back from them, and you take a raw material for what it is, almost like a person, right? Sometimes there's people, there's things we like about them and don't, but we love them because we know they're good people, and then we relate to that. That's our anchor.
So does smell attract you to someone? I don't want to say too much personally, but I think I've made some good and maybe not such good decisions with men based on how they smell.
Wow, this is an interesting question. I would say that if whatever the person is wearing evokes memories and emotions that are positive and they make you feel good, then yes, it's allure.
I like that, allure. That's a good word. All right, so what are we smelling here?
So this is Aromatics Elixir. This reintroduced patchouli as more of a luxury fragrance.
All right, and I have a very sensitive sense of smell. So when I smell things, I taste them most of the time.
Okay. So we'll talk about two things because I'm going to teach you how to smell on a blotter before you even use it.
Oh, okay.
So anyone who goes into a department store, don't hold the card in front of your nose. Everyone has a different capacity to smell, so you want to find a comfortable space between the paper blotter and your nose where you can smell and you don't feel overwhelmed. It's different for everyone. Think about a trombone, right? Different note for everybody.
Right.
And so you go for that place. And then once that happens, the way the brain works is that you feel and remember things first, and then the language portion of the brain starts to tell you things of how to describe it.
And I hear what you're saying, but I don't think my sense of smell is based on memory. I think I have a distinct, I know what I like and what I don't like. And if I smell something, I'm not thinking, oh, this reminds me of second grade. No, I'm thinking, oh, I like that.
Right.
Is it going to be that simple?
So remember what I had said earlier about separating likes and dislikes and being in the center place of being objective, right? It's all valid.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no right or wrong there. So the instinct to go for what you like or don't like is very reasonable for a couple of reasons. One is that the sense of smell is designed to protect us and also to give us pleasure. Really, that's why it exists. So we eat, procreate, and stay out of fire, bad food, and other things that could hurt us. So if you smell something and you don't like it, sometimes it's triggering something in your brain that says danger or just don't like.
Okay.
And if you like it, now here's where the memory part comes, you might not be conscious, right? Because first you're ferreting for danger. And once you let that go, start to just be with that material. Don't breathe too quickly or too slowly as you normally would. And just see what you start to think about.
And you brought something to drink. I'll tell
you. I did. So I want to talk about, you know, patchouli, and you were asking about like and not like. It's very interesting because patchouli has a very assertive smell. It's woody. It's what we call camphoraceous, like camphor. A little terpenic, which gives it a medicinal smell. Also very green and sometimes floral, depending on where it's from. But the way it smells is darker than the way it looks as a leaf, which is green. So what I brought today was some milky oolong tea, which I got it by the pound in Ann Arbor. And I brought it in because even though it's a green tea, it produces a certain flavor on its own from the way it grows and where it comes from, the terroir, that tastes like sweetened condensed milk. And so when you drink this
tea... It does not look like sweetened condensed milk.
Exactly. So people get flavor tripped when they try this.
Well, I like that. I got flavor too. my kids grew up that way. What's for dinner, Mom? And then, like, look at this. And, we got flavor trip.
I think we're starting. So
yes. All right. Should I taste it?
Tell me what you think.
When I go out to eat with someone and they say, do you want a bite? I'm like, no, I can just smell it and I can taste it. That's how strong my...
Yeah, that's because smell plus taste equals flavor. So if you actually held your mouth over a glass of wine and inhaled through your mouth and nose at the same time, you would intersect your sense of smell and your sense of taste, and you would have flavor. So you could sort of, I don't want to say taste your food, but detect the flavor.
When I do that with chocolate, I automatically get the calories.
You know what? I think everyone should have chocolate.
Yes.
They should eat it, too.
All right, we'll taste this. It's pretty refreshing.
How would you describe it?
It tastes peachy.
There is a peach nuance
in
there.
I knew it.
All right. You don't need to go to school.
Michelle's going to be at the Ann Arbor Library with an event on Wednesday, so tell us about that.
Sure. Actually, that's the aromatic allure of patchouli. So we'll be smelling different types of patchouli, including a biosynthetic version that was done by biofermentation, kind of like the way we get kimchi and other things, but using yeast. So that's kind of cool, and that never gets out of the lab. Finished fragrances, and I'm also there to answer all kinds of questions about perfume. And I look forward to seeing everyone there.
Will you change people's mind about patchouli?
Well, we did this in 2014, and the haters were converted. Not so much that they became lovers. Some did. They became patchouli lovers, but they understood it for what it was and could respect it for what it was. And that, to me, feels like an accomplishment with a very difficult material like patchouli.
The evangelist of aroma, Michelle Krell-Kidd. Thank you so much for joining us on 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you.